Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Open Air, KLW's weekly magazine of most things culturally considered. I'm Kevin Vance, sitting in for David LaTulipe this afternoon. We have a nice full program. We have members of the Raw Dance Company giving tribute to one of the great British mathematicians. He's got a great story. There's a great story behind that. A wonderful singer, songwriter, performer, Cheyenne Jackson. He's got a show coming up at the San Francisco Symphony tonight and tomorrow. Peter Robinson will keep us in touch with things cultural that he's paying attention to and that we should be paying attention to. And I want to welcome back to the KLW studios, J. Rao Brody.
Hi, everybody. It's good to be back.
I think of J. Rao Brody, and I think the man behind the piano on so many things.
I get around.
You get around. You've been, how long have you been working and living here in the Bay Area?
I moved to San Francisco on August 7th, 1974, so we're coming on my 40th anniversary here.
Oh my gosh, has it been 40 years?
Yes.
74 is 40 years ago?
I'm afraid so.
Oh my gosh.
I was two then. But no, I was 20, and it's where my life began. This is San Francisco is where I discovered ways that I could combine music and comedy and theater that I didn't even suspect existed when I was living back east.
So, to the uninitiated, I say J. Rao Brody is a local celebrity, and I think of comedy, I think of piano, I think of theater. What are some of the gems from the J. Rao Brody life that people go, that's where I know him from?
Right. I think most people know me these days for my work in improvisational theater. I'm the music director for Bats Improv down at Fort Mason, and some of the offshoot groups of that, True Fiction Magazine, Awkward Dinner Party. I've worked with a group called Three for All from time to time. So that's my main gig. I'm also in a large band right now called Orchestra Nostalgico, the band formerly known as Clubfoot Orchestra. And we've got our second CD in 15 years. It's we'll be releasing
it. I like hearing about stories of progress.
Yeah, whether we needed it or not. That'll be coming out in September. We'll be doing some shows around that. I play in a tango quartet called Tango Number 9 with...
I've heard of them.
Catherine Clune is the Clubfoot violinist, and a couple of other people are in that band. I'm in the Bogues, which is the Bogus Pogues. It's a Pogues cover band.
Oh, no kidding.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, I'll bet that's a lot of fun.
We'll be playing at the Lucky Washoe.
The Great Irish Band, yeah.
Right. But the main thing I'm here to plug today, Kevin, is a show called An Evening of Song. It's something that I've been doing with Merle Kessler.
Mr. Duck's Breath, Mr. Ian Scholes,
right, who's on the Philosophy Talk Show on this station.
Mm-hmm.
So he and I have been doing this since 1987, I think, the Noe Valley Ministry. It's exactly what the title implies. It's an evening of song. We call up all of our friends and say, you want to do one song apiece. Sometimes we come up with a theme, and sometimes people pay attention to it. But mainly the purpose is for people to get a chance to sing a song they've always wanted to sing and never had another opportunity. So in some cases, that's professional singers who have a limited repertoire or a limited genre and they want to break out of it. For some people, they've never been on stage before. They've never sung in public before. And they just want to see what it's like. So,
how does somebody sign up for something like that?
You got to know the people. So it's one step of... Kevin Bacon.
It's not quite an open mic or anything.
No,
like that.
No.
This is all rehearsed and everything.
Right. Well, somewhat rehearsed.
What kind of songs will they be?
It really runs a delightful gamut. It's a great challenge for me as an accompanist. Some of them are original songs by the singers. In past shows, we've run the gamut from Bulgarian folk music to Broadway show tunes to classical lieder. It's all over the map, and the audience is in for quite a roller coaster ride.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Let's see, what's the details on that? I have Saturday, July 26th. That's this coming Saturday.
That's this Saturday. It's an early show. It starts at 7:30. There are some media releases that somehow got the time wrong, but it's 7:30.
7:30, okay. Mark that on your brains.
It's at St. Cyprian's, which is a church up on the hill where University of San Francisco is. It's run by the Noe Valley Music Series. Larry Kasson used to have a great series at the Noe Valley Ministry on 24th, right off 24th Street. But that place is closed for earthquake repairs.
Okay.
So for the last couple of years, he's been doing shows at St. Cyprian's, which is a lovely hall with a nice falling down piano and a great sound system. So 7:30, Saturday the 26th, St. Cyprian's Church is on Turk Street right near Lyon.
Okay.
2097 Turk. And
north of the Panhandle?
Yes.
Nopa.
And west of Masonic.
Okay.
West of? No. East of Masonic. It's near USF.
Oh, boy. So it's this Saturday, St. Cyprian's, an evening of song. What will you and Merle Kessler, you just will be doing? What will you...
Well, I don't like to give a whole lot of things away.
No, don't give it all away, right. but just...
Merle's going to be doing an old folk song that he's always liked. And his character is Ian Scholes. He and I have done a number of shows together. He does a song that he wrote called I'm an Old Folk Singer, and it's a ruthless parody of the whole folk scare that Martin Mull describes.
He should make a copy of it. I should play it on my folk music show
sometime. I will. I'll
yes,
give it to you.
Please.
But for this show, he's going the sincere route and playing an old folk song that he really likes.
Mm.
He'll be accompanying himself on the acoustic guitar, and the experimental Love Orchestra will be backing him up.
I love the name of that one. Yeah. Tell me about the experimental...
That's just a nickname that our friend Dave Terry from the Baltimores came up with.
Mm-hmm.
It's me on piano, accordion, and the amazing DX7. Dave Jess on bass and Eric Rothkopf on drums. They're also mainstays of my band, The Stupids.
So will this be like all funny music or will it be some some funny, some serious?
I'd say the serious is probably going to outnumber the funny, but I wouldn't call it a dour show at all. There's going to be some up-tempo numbers. There's going to be swing numbers, jazz, rock, folk, you know. You can just go down the list of genres and there'll be something that touches on it.
We have something here. What is this? A gospel song called "Whiter Than Snow" or a piece of Gustav Mahler?
This is from the first evening of song that we did way back in 1987. The singer is Sarah Ludlow, a lovely opera trained singer, and she brought in two songs for that show, and we sort of just cobbled them together as a medley. The first is by Gustav Mahler, and it segues neatly into a gospel song that we learned from a Niecy Williams album.
Hmm. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Yes, let's.
Lord Jesus. If you wash me.
Wow, she can sing.
Yeah.
Who is that again?
Sarah Ludlow. She's not singing very much anymore. It's hard to make a break in the classical world, and she has found other more rewarding pursuits.
Good for her.
But, yeah, I totally miss her. Oh. Keep inviting her back. She keeps politely declining.
Oh, she's not coming on Saturday.
Not this one, no.
Oh, but she did. Well, maybe we can kidnap her and bring her in then.
I'll talk to her.
Would you do that?
Yes, I will.
Let's talk about that evening of song. It's Saturday, the 26th of July at 7:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. at good old St. Cyprian's, the new home of the Noe Valley Music Series. The place for that is 2097 Turk Street, not far from Lyon.
Lyon, yeah.
And here in the city. And a telephone number I have here for information is 415-454-5238. What about NoeValleyMusicSeries.com?
That'll work also. And again, if listeners are just sort of Googling it at random, some of the media outlets have an 8 o'clock start time. That is not correct.
It's 7:30. J. Rawl Brody here on the microphone, and I invited him to bring his keyboard, but hauling a piano into this little phone booth-sized studio is a bit too much.
If I'd brought the accordion, all of your listeners would have switched to the other public radio
station. Oh, heavens. Oh, can't have that.
No.
I would have stayed.
Bless your heart.
I love the accordion.
I do, too. You're going to go to the festival?
Got to be there. The one in Cotati.
Cotati Accordion Festival.
When is that?
August 15th, I think, or 21st.
Got to head towards there.
Middle of August.
Oh, excellent. J. Rawl Brody, working on a million projects, but this evening of song sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a labor of love. I send out 85 invitations to our vast mailing list of people that feel that the show wouldn't be the same without them. They are all correct, which is why the show is never the same.
Mm.
And usually about 30 or 40 people are signed up. It's a long show. Bring a picnic lunch.
Sounds good.
But it's so eclectic. It's there's so much variety in it, and so much talent and so much heart. And it makes me happier than just about any other show I do.
So not only bring Kleenexes for sad songs, but mm-hmm. bring defibrillators for pulled muscles when you laugh so hard.
Exactly.
Sounds like fun.
I hope so.
J. Rawl Brody, spent too little time with you.
Oh.
Gotta ask you to come back.
I
know. Got a million other people coming in for open air.
Yeah.
But how about this wonderful song you told me about? It's a protest song for peace, which heavens knows we still need.
This sensitive singer-songwriter will be in the show. His name is Jim Hyden.
Mm-hmm.
He won't be doing this song. He'll be doing something else. But yeah, this was a production number. It actually had choreography. And I think the song speaks for itself.
J. Rawl Brody, thanks for coming. We'll have you back here on these KLW microphones.
Thanks,
again,
Kevin.
That's an evening of song. J. Rawl Brody, Merle Kessler, and lots and lots of friends. That's this Saturday, July 26th at 7:30 p.m., not 8 o'clock, 7:30 p.m., St. Cyprian's Church, 2097 Turk Street, here in the city, not far from Lyon Street, in north of Panhandle, west of Masonic. Do we know what buses go by there?
No, we don't.
No, that's all right. Here in the city, San Francisco, telephone number 415-454-5238 and NoeValleyMusicSeries.com. Josh, good to see you again.
Good to see you again.
We'll talk some more.
Cheers.
Hooray! Hooray! Everybody get together, 'cause together we will change the world. We'll find the enemies of freedom and defeat them. Every boy and girl will be so happy. All the world will be so happy. Every country will be happy. Every race completely happy. Let us stage a celebration as our nation steps now to the fore. Put aside your indecision, share our vision. Come embrace the war. We know you'll like it. All the men on TV like it. All the soldiers are excited. And the generals, they're delighted. All the congressmen support it. Even though we can't afford it, all our allies are behind it. Almost no one seems to mind it. It's only mothers that complain when their youthful sons are slain. Although it's plain, a little rain is bound to fall. You'd think that they'd be full of pride at the way their babies died. Have they not tried to look outside themselves at all? Last bit of your conscience, it's been long since
rendered obsolete.
You know the best part of this all is
we're uberallis. War is really neat.
The right's elated and the left's infatuated. John Q. Public thinks it's splendid. He'll be sad when it is ended. All the billionaires are for it, and the monarchs, they adore it. And the president must love it. He just can't get enough of it. Why do the mothers have to nag when they get the body back? Give me that flag. I'll make a gag to quiet them down. My mother never understood peace and love are just no good to stop a hood. You lay some wood upside his crown.
We know our enemy is a bad man. All we are saying is give war a chance.
You like it?
Another one of those protest songs, Only the Mothers Complain, music of Jim Hyden, who will be one of many performing as part of an evening of song. J. Ral Brody, Merle Kessler, and a million friends performing this Saturday, the 26th, at 7:30 p.m., St. Cyprian's Church, 2097 Turk Street, here in San Francisco. Telephone number 415-454-5238. NoeValleyMusicSeries.com is the website. It's open air here on KALW. I'm Kevin Vance, sitting in for David LaTulipe. We're going to talk about dance now on the radio. I want to welcome to the microphones Ryan and Wendy, Ryan Smith and Wendy Ryan of the Raw Dance Theater Company. They have a show coming up. Got a lot of stuff coming up. You have, I want to say happy anniversary.
Thank you. Happy 10th birthday,
Raw Dance Theater Company. And you're doing something in tribute to the great British mathematician Alan Turing, who, if you don't know who he is, he's got a great story. He's not just some boring guy with numbers. He's got a great story.
He is super fascinating. He was such a great source of inspiration. We have a show coming up this weekend, opening tomorrow night, Friday, through Sunday at Z-Space, 450 Florida Street. And yeah, just as you were saying, we have a new work in collaboration with composer Richard Einhorn from New York, based on the life and the work of Alan Turing, who is an absolutely fascinating person to study and to inspire a dance work.
He had his hands in so many different disciplines. He was trained as a mathematician, but really he worked in cryptanalysis during World War II, cracking German Enigma codes. He worked in mathematic notation. He worked in philosophy. And then he is credited as being the father of computer science.
But on the flip side of all of his genius and his contributions, his mathematical work and just his amazing brain, his personal narrative. He was persecuted in 1940s through, I guess, 40s 50s. Through 50s, UK for his homosexuality, and then was only recently in the last year, I guess 2013, pardoned by the government. And so we kind of were inspired by Turing for his perfect balance, left brain and right brain for us. He kind of led us towards all of this patterning and this coding and kind of this mathematical approach that we really found intriguing to play out in the choreography, as did Richard in the music. And then his personal story of persecution is just, it's a story that really deserves to be shared and seen on the stage.
Is there a love story in it?
There's, I don't know about love.
There's
there's a scene that we refer to as the erotic apple duet.
But in a way, it makes sense, because I think Turing was, as a man, he was always looking for love, and I think he had a really hard time finding it. He had a few lovers in that, you know, that are written about as part of his official biography, but it seems like in a way he was always looking for something, always on the search, and that's something that we wanted to capture in the work. So I wouldn't necessarily say there is a love or a love duet, but there's a lot of attempt at finding it via an apple in the piece.
And just to add this, we're not really trying to tell his story. He was an incredible source of inspiration, both his life and his work. And we read a ton. We did so much research for this project. But really, we kind of then took it and ran with it in our own direction. And we definitely took a lot of creative license.
Mm. Now, is the choreography yours?
It is.
Excellent. What will people see now? How do you dance to the story of a man who loved numbers?
You'll see a lot of patterning on stage, a lot of play with almost robotic, very specific, detailed movement, which makes sense for Turing as the father of artificial intelligence and computer science. You'll see kind of, this contrast between those sharp movements and mathematical side of movement. We jokingly refer to with our design team that some of the pieces mathy. We made up a word to describe the choreography. It is downright mathy.
I think our lighting designer coined that word.
But it's perfectly accurate, you know? It works.
It does.
And then you'll see some more luscious movement to kind of contrast the narrative side of his life.
Well, and it's all done to the composition of the music of Mr. Einhorn. Tell me about the music.
Well, we first met Richard at a residency program in U-Cross, Wyoming back in 2012, and we completely bonded over dorky things, over our love of patterns and over our love of Indian food and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which immediately bonded and formed a relationship for us.
Yeah, we were all there working on completely different projects. We'd never met. We were working on a different dance at the time. He was working on another set of compositions at the time, but we did bond over all of those non-touring related things, and then we just stayed in touch and kept talking and finally, you know, decided to do a project together. And this is kind of what boiled to the surface, or what bubbled to the surface.
And we fell in love with Richard's music because he makes music that you want to move to. It is perfect for dance. It is both emotionally moving and driving of a certain physicality. So he's such a logical person to work within with choreography. So we're just very excited that we were able to find a project that inspired all of us equally. And the sample that we brought today of his music is an etude for pentatonics. It's as we got mathy with our dance, he got mathy with his music. And he was inspired kind of with playing with patterns. And this was an early, early study that we actually managed to keep for the final work. So it's the opening track of our work, Turing's Apple, that again opens tomorrow night.
Let's hear a little bit of that. This is the music of Richard Einhorn. Richard Einhorn which will accompany the work of Raw Dance, their performance this weekend, the 25th through the 27th, Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 7 p.m., all taking place at Z Space here in the city, 450 Florida Street, San Francisco, a celebration of Raw Dance's 10th anniversary, the world premiere of this piece, this music that Richard Einhorn's composed music for. It's called Turing's Apple, world premiere. What's going on in this scene here as the piano is playing?
That's actually the opening of the piece. So we have I don't want to give away all of our secrets. But
don't
we do have
give it all away, just enough for us
there's
to
a lot of jumping.
Ooh, gotta see.
I actually hear that music and I'm like, ooh, should be jumping.
Yeah, you can tell that we're opening tomorrow since we automatically start reviewing in our head. Everything's going to be fresh. We'll put it that way.
But yes, that it can't be seen on the radio.
We start with a very specific kind of the introduction of the apples without giving more away. But there are a lot of apples. We have something like 200 apples as part of the set. So we allude to the apples at
real
the very
apples.
Beginning. Oh, yes. You can eat all of them. They're slightly wax coating.
Don't know that you would want to by the end, but
I am a little over Red Delicious apples, to be honest. but they look great from the house. They look good on stage.
Why apples? How did apple become associated with Alan Turing?
So Alan Turing reportedly committed suicide by poisoned apple.
By cyanide.
And the idea is that he was fascinated with the Disney film Snow White. He saw it, and he apparently used to go around quoting the evil witch, the evil queen, and had conceived of death by poison apple. There is some lingering question as to whether or not that's actually what happened. But
as Wendy mentioned earlier, we were inspired by the life and work of Turing. We don't really care if it actually happened, but when someone gives you a poisoned apple as fodder for a piece, you run with it and suddenly have 200 apples on stage.
Our set designer ran with it, too.
In fact, Snow White may or may not be making an appearance in the work. As of now, she is. But again, we open tomorrow, so I make no promises. You'll have to come and see what we decide by showtime.
I love the nervousness before a show opens. I'm a recovering actor myself, so I know exactly what's going on. This sounds extremely exciting. This is Raw Dance. You've been together 10 years.
Yep.
Yes.
What all have you done in 10 years?
A lot of dance.
What haven't we done?
A lot of great dancing.
You know, we started the company originally just wanting to, as most choreographers do, make our own work and put things out there in the public. And it's been really amazing to see how much we've been able to grow and how much we've solidified both as a company and how much the two of us have grown in our partnership. We're a rare company in that we both co-direct. We co-create everything. We go into the studio and hash it out, fight it out, duke it out to make every work. So it's rare that I think collaborations are done to that degree for a full company model. And then over time, one of the big things that I think has been important to us is this focus on sharing our time between the theater and in public spaces, public places. There's a lot of complaints in the dance field about audience not going to dance. Mm. And our approach has been, screw that. We're going to bring the dance to the audiences.
Excellent. A little guerrilla art there.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's what you've got to do. So our hope is that they'll, you know, see us in public and then come back into the theater. So come to the Z-Space show this weekend. But in regards to that, actually, coming up just in about a month and a half,
A little over a month.
I'm going to say it's a month and a half, so I feel better. on September 5th and 6th, we're actually being presented by the Yerba Buena Gardens Festival.
Oh.
And we're doing another repertory season.
It's a completely different program. So mm-hmm. Right after we wrap up this weekend, we will jump into three different works.
And it's free and open to the public right in front of the MLK Fountain in the Yerba Buena Gardens. Again, that's Friday, September 5th at 7 p.m. And I always forget the times. And Saturday, September 6th at 1 p.m. So, you know, that this year, I feel like for our 10th anniversary, we're really finding that balance between bringing work to people and bringing people to work.
Ooh. Well, this sounds exciting. Got to see this. This is Raw Dance, the theater, the dance production. They've been together for 10 years now. Their world premiere, they're doing a performance this weekend, July 25th, 26th, and 27th. It is a world premiere of the performance of Turing's Apple, accompanied by the music of composer Richard Einhorn. The place for this will be Z Space, 450 Florida Street here in San Francisco. The times this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. this weekend, Sunday at 7 p.m. Tickets and information, you can go to zspace.org. You can go to rawdance.org. You may telephone 866-811-4444. 4111. Or if you're lucky enough, you've got a pair of tickets we can give away, can't we? How about a couple of pairs of tickets? Do we have a choice of what day they can be, or does it have to be a particular night?
Nope, they can come any of the three nights.
Any of the three nights. So how about the first two people to call us at 415-841-4134. You pick whatever night you want to see the performance, and we'll send you there, the first two of you who call us right now at 841-4134, and we'll send you to one of the performances of Raw Dance, happy 10th anniversary, the performance of Turing's Apple, the world premiere, accompanied by the music of composer Richard Einhorn. So nice to meet you, Ryan. So nice to meet you, Wendy.
So nice to meet
thank
you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Fantastic. You have a wonderful show this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Hope to get as many people excited about this as possible. This is Open Air, normally hosted by David LaTulipe. I'm Kevin Vance. And now, here is David speaking with Cheyenne Jackson, a fine singer, a fine songwriter. You get to hear his story next on Open Air.
The soaring, shimmering voice of Cheyenne Jackson as Tony, from the recent best-selling San Francisco Symphony release of the complete West Side Story on the SFS Media label, also a record-breaking download. Singer-songwriter, actor Cheyenne Jackson is back in town with the symphony for Hello Gorgeous. Cheyenne Jackson sings music from the movies under the direction of Edwin Outwater with special guests Faith Prince and drag sensation Courtney Act, tonight and tomorrow night at Davies Symphony Hall. Among many other TV credits, Cheyenne was seen most prominently on NBC's 30 Rock and Glee, and was eye candy for Michael Douglas's Liberace in HBO's Behind the Candelabra. On and off Broadway, he's made the rounds in Short Shorts for Xanadu, for which he received a Drama League and Drama Desk nomination. I think the Short Shorts might have had something to do with that, maybe. 8, Finian's Rainbow, Altar Boys, Aida, Thoroughly Modern Millie, and On the 20th Century, among others. One of his memorable film roles was as Mark Bingham in United 93. In concert, he has sold out Carnegie Hall twice. The Power of Two in 2010 with Michael Feinstein, and the following year with his solo debut concert with the New York Pops, Music of the Mad Men Era. Here in San Francisco, last Sunday, he performed at the opening ceremonies for the San Francisco AIDS Walk in Golden Gate Park, which fits right in with his ardent support of a variety of social issues, including LGBT rights, marriage equality, and HIV/AIDS research. He's a board-appointed international ambassador for AMFAR, and he serves as the national ambassador for the Hedrick Martin Institute. He was also a grand marshal for last year's Pride Parade here in San Francisco. A busy, busy guy. Cheyenne Jackson, welcome to Open Air.
Thank you very much.
Should I say, hello, gorgeous.
Hello, gorgeous. Thank
and
you.
And a belated happy birthday, 39,
thank you.
Just a little over a week ago.
Yes, yes, cancer baby. Yeah, 39. Like, for real 39. And people are like, I'm 39. So this
yeah,
is the only time I can really say that.
I think that works now for you.
So, thanks.
Wow, so much has been happening over this past decade or so in your career. Just reading your bio is both exhausting and exhilarating, as it must be for you.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Every day I get to do something new. Every day I get to do what I love. I mean, how many people get to actually get paid to do what they love? And is never lost on me, the opportunities that I have. 4 weeks ago, I went to the White House and sang for the president and Mrs. Obama. And here the San Francisco Symphony has given me carte blanche to create my own show. you know, with the San Francisco Symphony for two nights. So it's just, you know, I grew up really poor in a little tiny town in Idaho, you know, no running water. We had an outhouse. And I wanted for nothing. I think sometimes when you are that poor, you don't know. I mean, I was totally happy. It was a wonderful bucolic way to grow up. But I think having nothing and then getting to a place where you have opportunities, be them monetarily or just experiential, it's just overwhelming. It's great. So yes, it is exhausting, but it is mostly exhilarating. Hmm.
Now, reading that list of accomplishments already, it may seem like it's always been that way for you, for someone just reading those. But talk to us about when things moved from struggling actor, singer-songwriter, and the phone wasn't ringing all the time, and before the Cheyenne Jackson industry evolved.
This is not going to be the answer you want, and other actors are going to want to wring my neck. But I started acting late in terms of industry talk. I mean, up until I was almost 27, I worked at a magazine in Seattle. Two things happened, 9/11, which changed, obviously, the whole world's consciousness. And then we had a death in our family, my brother's little girl. And both of those things, both of those earth-shattering events changed everything. And I knew that I needed to have some guts and have some balls and actually believe in myself. I didn't go to school, so my dream was to move to New York, but I didn't go to college, so I thought I can't go and compete with 20-year-old kids straight out of Juilliard. But I knew I had something, and people that I respected said, you know, you have something. And I thought, you know what? Because of these things in life and because of 9/11, I just, no regrets, I'm going to do this. So I moved to New York, and within 3 weeks, I got my first my very first audition was for Thoroughly Modern Millie, and I booked it, and I have been, knock on, is this wood?
I think so, yeah.
All right. I've been working ever since. There really hasn't been a time when I haven't had something going on, and I'm lucky. I think blessed is such an overused term, but it's the only way to put it. I am blessed. I'm thankful, and I also work my ass off. So I think all of those things combined.
Well, who do you credit with the training of your pipes? So flexible and such a beautiful high range, as we heard in that opening selection from West Side Story.
Thank you very much. My mom. I grew up in the woods, like I said, and my mom is a beautiful self-taught singer, you know, guitar, Joni Mitchell, Joan Baez, Judy Collins, you know, is that kind of thing.
Great stuff.
We have recordings of me at 2 and 3 singing harmony with her. So it was always something I had. And then I became a mimic. I wanted to, I'll sing rock and roll, or I'll sing like Old Man River. I wanted to be able to sing low, and then I wanted to sing high George Michael stuff. So I kind of just trained myself to be able to sing anything. That was my goal. Mm-hmm. But then I had two opera singer friends in Spokane, Washington, where I'm born, actually. I started training a little bit with their opera coach, and she just gave me some great technique, some great tools. Trained with her for about 6 months, and that has kind of carried me through. Mm-hmm. I take really good care of my voice.
I was going to say, is that a special regular maintenance now that you go through, a special regimen you have before you go out or before you train?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a constant care because you only have one voice. And my goal is for my voice to last as long as it's going to. And part of that deal was me getting sober. I got sober a couple years ago, and you know, not putting that in my body, and actually just my voice has gotten stronger and better. And also doing parts that will challenge me. For instance, West Side Story last year, I just turned 39 and Tony's 18 or 19. So although I have a youthful sound to my voice, I really had to, you know, Michael would say, all right, you're 19 here. You know, mm-hmm. you know, you're a kid. Don't give me. And so it's a lot of work. My warm-ups are important. I just take care of it.
I know that Stephen Sondheim has authorized a revision of Company where Bobby is now a gay man, but I guess he would never go sing Maria's brother.
Wasn't Bobby always gay? I mean, that's the you know.
And being out and openly gay since you were 19,
it's
a credit to the roles you've been able to have. And do you think the industry has changed that much, that it's, as they used to say, colorblind? Is it gender, I think sexual orientation blind?
I think we're getting there. I think there's been huge leaps made. by many of my peers, Neil Patrick Harris and Matt Bomer and people that are, you know, up and coming. Not that either of those guys are up and coming. They've already come. Yeah, I think it has changed. And I think it happens by, you know, I was doing Damn Yankees on Broadway with Jane Krakowski and Sean Hayes. Tina Fey came and saw because of the Jane Krakowski connection. And she said, I really like your big Midwestern face and your timing. It's very specific.
I guess so, yeah.
And very Tina. And she said, I have this part that I wanted to gauge your interest on. I said, well, my interest is high. It's very high. So, and the fact that she, you know, that was a straight part on 30 Rock. And that kind of, once somebody like that gives you the seal of approval in terms of, you know, it really kind of opened up all the doors. So, yeah, I think these are.
It's also attributable to the randomness of that. I mean, if
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's wonderful that those kind of circles happen.
Yeah. Do I think I've missed out on things because I'm openly gay? Probably. I mean, of course. But
none the worse for wear.
No, I'm so happy with where I'm at and where I'm going and the work that I'm doing. And I would hate to have to like use non-specific pronouns and say, oh, I'm here with my mom and I'm not really interested in, I mean, like, no way. No way.
So tell us about tonight's concert and tomorrow night's concert.
This is a show that together with a couple of great guys from the symphony, we have put together. It's been about a year in the making, and because of our collaboration on West Side Story last year, the symphony has just been so great to me. So we went to put together something that would fit within the summer series, and I've been doing so much concert work in the last year and a half. It's really been a blessing. There I am with that bless again. What are you going to do? There's no other word to describe it. So they let me kind of come up with this idea. And so movie-wise, I knew there was so much we could cover, but I still needed it to be cohesive in terms of, you know, you can't just sing a song from this movie and this movie, and then it's just like a, you know, a recital, basically. So my job was to find a way for me to have a personal connection to each song while infusing it with fun and entertainment backed by the most amazing orchestra I've ever sung with. And then just, you know, going with it. My guest stars, Faith Prince, who won a Tony for Guys and Dolls, and I've listened to that recording a million times, and I'm actually singing a song with her from that show.
Nice.
Amazing.
So your choice to include Faith and Courtney?
Yeah. I picked them both, and Courtney, I thought, was a great choice because I just love RuPaul's Drag Race, and she's a great singer, but also I'm doing a thing, we're doing a Baz Luhrmann thing, so we're singing Elephant Love Medley.
So did you all consult together about songs to include, songs that you'd like to include?
Yeah, we definitely wanted kind of a mix of some really classic older stuff to all the way up until a movie a couple of years ago, and it really runs the gamut, but the biggest, my parameters were it has to be something that I have a personal connection with, not just, I've always wanted to sing that song. Because at the end of the day, when you go to a show, you want to connect with the person on stage. You don't just want to hear pretty music. I mean, maybe some people do. But when I go to see somebody in concert, I want to see myself in them, and I want to experience myself in their experiences. So, that's my goal. And this is I'm proud of this show. It's been a lot of work, but it's going to be great.
Well, Cheyenne, thanks so much for coming in today. And
thanks for
having
me.
Best wishes for a couple of wonderful, fabulous concerts with the San Francisco Symphony tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30. Complete concert information at sfsymphony.org. A parenthetical too, reminder that the Symphony is offering a free concert this Sunday at 2, minus Mr. Jackson, at Civic Center Plaza. sfsymphony.org for that information. And for all things Cheyenne, go to his Twitter feed, at Cheyenne Jackson, or Instagram, Mr. Cheyenne Jackson. Cheyenne will also be Eric Jansen's guest on tonight's edition of Out in the Bay at 7, if you'd like to hear a bit more in-depth interview and conversation and more of his own music. Speaking of your own music, let's end with a cut from your new CD, I'm Blue, Skies. This is the title track. Tell us a little bit about it. It's all songs written by you, by the way, this CD.
Yeah.
But what is the title track all about?
The title track is about me at the edge of something fantastic that I don't have the guts to actually go and take. And that's been a theme in my life, conquering fear. The actual title, I'm Blue, comma, skies, and yes, the comma was on purpose, and there were lots of conversations about the comma. It's twofold. I went through a rough couple of years, you know, breakup and getting sober, and which ended up being wonderful, but I'm blue means I'm sad, and skies, talking to the skies, literally. So I'm blue, skies. I'm also Native American, so, you know, that kind of holds into that. And then the second meaning is I'm blue skies, which means you can't see me, I'm on the radio, but my arms are outstretched, which means I am everything. I am you. I am, you know. So, yeah.
Very nice. Thanks again for coming in.
My pleasure.
Music written and performed by Cheyenne Jackson.
Here I am, letting go.
Where bowers of flowers bloom in the sun. Each morning at dawn and bird is singing. Everything a sun-kissed miss said, don't be late. That's why I can't hardly wait. So open up your golden gates. California, here I come.
Peter Robinson, welcome back to Open Air, or one of our regular contributors. We're coming back to California because of some things we should be paying attention to.
Yeah, that's right, Kevin. Good to be here. And this is the summer season, August and September. In fact, according to the Tourist Bureau, some 60 million visitors come in the year to California, but half that, 8 million, come in the month of August and September. Now, if you have friends or guests staying with you, you know, one of the questions which I always get asked is, what can we see? What can we do? And my introduction for them to the city is to take them back to the summer of 1968, the year of love. So what I do is I pile them on the magic bus. It kicks off in Union Square. And the minute you're inside the bus, the blinds come down on the windows, and suddenly you're getting projections of Jerry Garcia, you're rock and rolling, and there's bubbles coming out of the bus. And I'm not exactly sure what the smell inside was, but somebody said, are you bogarding the joint? And I said, no, I'm inside the bus. Yeah, but we were off to a rip-roaring start, and the music took us on our journey. Now, the way the bus works, they have an excellent guide. They take you from Union Square into Chinatown, and immediately the blinds come up again, and you're in that historic section of San Francisco. But as soon as you've got a glimpse of it, the next thing is you're round the corner into North Beach, and we've moved to the world of beatniks because we stopped outside City Lights. And then down come the blinds, and up comes Jack Kerouac. So before you know what's happened to you, they're playing tricks on your head, and they've already started handing out the flowers. So everybody has to put a flower in their ear as they rock and roll through the city. And then they get into a very grim section as we hit the financial district and we open the blinds and see the guys in suits and off we go. Then head north across the city up to Haight-Ashbury. And here the music takes on something I can always remember. In fact, it started California Dreaming for me, and I could hear the beat slowly coming in as we heard, I think, the Mamas and the Papas.
And
And we were moving, we were shaking, and the whole bus was shaking, the vibrations were coming in. But before we knew where we were, we'd left behind Haight-Ashbury, and we're now into the Palace of Flowers. We get off, stretch our legs, and then start hitting back to the city, going through the Victorians, stopping at Jimi Hendrix's house, the music comes in again, and finally, with a kind of refreshing introduction, that was San Francisco. Now, they say if you remember the 60s, you probably weren't there. Well, yes, I was. It was 68. The city came to life. This is living history. Now, with my guests, I always remind them that beyond the city are the ferry boats, and I love the ferry boats. It's a great way of getting in from Marin in the morning. You can see the pelicans drop for an early breakfast. The sun comes up behind the Golden Gate Bridge, and, of course, the bell rings over Alcatraz. But my choice is to take people to Angel Island. I think it's more interesting than Alcatraz. It certainly gives you a sense of the bay. For photographers, it's a panorama's paradise because you can shoot the whole way around the bay, and it's an interesting three-hour hike. Now, on the island itself, it's rich with history. There is the old, what they call the Ellis Island of the West, the immigration center, with the poems written by Chinese immigrants as they came in at the turn of the century. And then there are the sort of barracks, because although California was not involved in the Civil War, you can visit the museum. There was a garrison base there. And in the Cold War, there are the Miwok missile sites. So you can really go from Miwoks to missiles all in a matter of 1 hour. And if Grandpa's with you, they have a shuttle to get you round. If you want to be 2 feet higher than everybody else, they have one of those Segway tours, which stays to the road as it transgresses Angel Island. So that's my choice. Number two, enjoy the ferry ride, hop out to Angel Island. And then if you want to bring them back to the city, at the moment, running through the months of August and September, is a new exhibition at the Asian Art Museum. It's called Gorgeous, and I think it will ask you to explore the idea, because I think in this particular exhibition, both beauty and ugliness are in the eye of the beholder. There's four rooms, there's 72 different exhibits, and as you come into the first room, there's this porcelain huge statue lying flat of Michael Jackson. Ah, now why is Michael Jackson doing there, I asked. Well, I realised the exhibition is a combination of both the Asian art and also the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, which is currently closed and getting renovated, and they brought these two items together. So it's a different type of exhibition. It really will get you to question what is beautiful, what is art, what is profane, what is ugly. And you can go, frankly, through 2,000 years of history. There are some swords there from the Tibetan area, and then a beautiful feminine deity from India. Your head will be twisted, your mind will be provoked, and you'll come out saying, yes, that was San Francisco. There we are. Something for everybody, and you're in the mix of it there. So those are my three choices. If you have visitors staying with you, they'll fill a fun time, entertaining, engaging, instructive, and above all, magic. The bus tour, the trip to Angel Island, and include a visit to an art museum. My suggestion, the Asian Art Museum. Well, we're going to go for something totally different now, and we're going to go back to another era, an era which is very much part of my life. In fact, we're going to explore A Hard Day's Night. She loves you, yeah. Yay, yay, yeah, and we can't get enough of it. Well, in fact, it's 50 years since the release of A Hard Day's Night. It's now playing in cinemas around the city. And this is a highly tuned up version of the original. So if you like the Beatles, if you want to understand what Beatlemania was all about, and if you want to see the four lads from Liverpool in their very early days, you will enjoy seeing Dick Lester's A Hard Day's Night. Now, I come from Liverpool originally. When I first met the Beatles, they were a second act at the Jacaranda, which is an underground jazz club. Number one was a Jamaican steel band. But the Jamaican steel band is gone, and indeed the Beatles are still with us. And what I liked about this very quirky movie was the nature of the sense of humour. Britain was very much on a curve in those days. Old Britain was going. That was the week that was taking off. Satire was rich. And some of the scenes, particularly on the train, were a very posh business guy tells them to close the window. And they just reply normally, no, we like it open. And we're in the majority. There's one of you and four of us. They then play their radio. He says, turn that off. He said, no, we like the majority. There's one of us, there's one of you and four of us. So there was a sort of quirkiness, and the lesser characters, the small British characters, I think represent an old world, the four Beatles, each in their own right, each with their own personality, really sparkle in this particular movie. It's based on the screenplay by Alan Owen, so it's a kind of fictionalized biopicture with a lot of individual songs. And I think you can see how they developed, each in their own ways, George Harrison, and then, of course, Ringo, who does have his own individual song in this particular movie and is definitely still around and lively and with us, Paul McCartney, and you get an insense as to how different John Lennon was. So here's a piece of music, here's a great movie, semi-documentary, semi-fiction, lively performances, set in 1964. Go and see it, because you'll love it. Yay, yay, yay.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard
Thank you, Peter Robinson. I did a little research on the web, and I found you can find out about the Magic Bus Tours at magicbussf.com. I found some times when you can catch this re-release of A Hard Day's Night from the San Francisco Weekly website, which is sfweekly.com, and the asianartmuseum.org, asianart.org. You can find more about the exhibition of Gorgeous. It's Open Air, normally hosted by David LaTulipe. My name is Kevin Vance. And before we go to the BBC World News Hour, I want to let you know about a production that we have some tickets to give away to. If you love the Beatles, you love Don Giovanni as well. A performance on Thursday, the 31st of July at 7:30. Another performance August 2nd at 2 p.m. at Everett Auditorium, 450 Church Street in San Francisco, conducted by Martin Katz and directed by James Darra. Libretto by Lorenzo De Bonte in Italian with English supertitles. The Ultimate Playboy comes to Marilla this week, this summer, with more than 2,000 romantic conquests. Don Giovanni lives life in the fast lane until a mysterious meeting with a statue begins his downward spiral. A performance, performances of Don Giovanni at Marilla Opera Program. Our friends with the Marilla Opera Program, taking place at the Everett Middle School Auditorium, 450 Church Street in San Francisco. If you would like to win tickets to see this performance, be the first six callers. Let the phone ring. We will get to you at area code 415-841-4134 to see the Marilla Opera Program's performance of Don Giovanni. The program is Open Air, back with you next Thursday afternoon at 1 with your host David LaTulipe here on KALW San Francisco.